Praise God. I'm happy to see you guys this morning. Amen. All right. Thank you, Vicky. Vicky's happy to see me today. Got these nice bright lights shining on me. Thank you, Bud, for that, for getting us an upgrade. I can read my notes now up here. Lights are nice and bright. And we are the only church in service this morning. So I was hoping to see it packed out. I was hoping to see people from the other churches here, but it didn't happen. But I'm thankful for everybody that did make it. I think I need to come down some more still. The volume, it's really, really loud. Anthony told me I shouldn't be able to hear myself, and I can. All right, good. Check, check. How's that? How's it back there, bud? It's all right? Okay. I get worked up. It might get pretty loud, but that's okay. But anyway, I'm thankful for all of you that made it here. I know with the weather, it's kind of unpredictable, and I'm kind of made myself a promise last year after we had to cancel twice that this year, short of us not being able to get in the parking lot, we are probably not going to cancel. So if weather is bad and it looks like it's going to be unsafe for you to travel, stay home. That's fine. But we have enough people that live in town and that live where they just take the highway that's normally cleared off, so we probably will always have service unless it's a blizzard or, you know, something. So thank you for being here today. And I'm ready to preach. I got a good word on the shepherds this morning. As I've been reading through these stories, through the nativity story, and just trying to really see, like, God, what do you want us to receive from this? How many of you know that the words that we read in the Bible are not just stories just for our information? It's not just history. Okay, it is history, but it's not just history. Now, I did not like history when I was in high school. Some people love history. My dad loves history. I don't like it. I used to play that, what was that, the trivia game? Trivia Crack, where it's got all the different categories. One of them's history. It was always my worst. I did better in, like, arts, like, about painters and stuff, and I didn't do good in that. But I just never have loved history because I'm like, that's not going to help me. I don't need that for the future, right? I don't care what they did in England back in the 1600s. That's the way I used to look at it. And so as I started to study the Bible, like, there was different points where I'm kind of like, okay, I've read this before. Like, this is history. The Old Testament is history. The story of Jesus' birth, like, that's history. Yes, I'm thankful for it, but, like, I know the story, right? I don't like to watch movies, too many movies, over and over and over when I know what's going to happen. Now, if I haven't seen it for a year, I probably have no idea what's going to happen at the end of it. My memory's not very good, and so I'll watch it. But I'm not going to watch a movie that I just watched last week. Sometimes we'll see it in the theater, it comes out on DVD, and I'm like, I don't want to watch that. Like, maybe next year, you know, when it's in the $5 bin or whatever. But we got to look at the words in the scriptures. We got to look at especially the stories of Jesus's birth and the wise men, the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, all these things. And we've got to look at them not as just history. They are history, glorious history. Thank you, God, for this history. But like, how can I apply this to my life today? If you're not reading the Bible as in, how can I apply this for my life today? It's really not going to do you a lot of good. Amen? It's really not, because you're just going to get a little bit of knowledge. You're just going to know a little bit of history. And yeah, it's good to know, but you really got to think, God, how can I use this? How can you use it to change my life today? And that's why it's the living word. Amen? It's the living word, okay? It can change you today. And how many of you know that when God shows up, things will change? That's a certainty that when God shows up, that things will change. You know, there's people that come to the faith, right? They come to know Christ. They have faith in Christ because they were searching for him. And that's what we read about last week with the wise men. They were searching for him. But you know, there's others that are not searching. They're not looking, but God shows up. And what happens is their world gets turned upside down. God shows up and something changes. And so God doesn't always work the same way. He doesn't always have the same timing. Dave and I were talking about that this morning. Some people, They hear about Jesus. They get changed, transformed. You're like, they're a different person today. And other people, it's like, what is wrong with them? Like, they heard the same message I heard. They have the same Bible I have. They're listening to the same songs. And it's a process, right? But we want everything to happen right now. But it doesn't always work the same way. Sometimes the timing might be different. But we've got to trust that God is always working, right? He's always working. And what's great is his goal is always the same. His goal is always the same. Reveal truth. Get people to understand their need for a Savior. Save them and then call them to where he wants them to go. Now, how it happens is going to be different from time to time, but God is always working the same and he's always working. So today I want to look at the story of the shepherds. And this is really, again, if we don't believe in miracles, we do not believe the Christmas story, the nativity story, because every one of these is filled with miracles. So I want to look at this lesson from the shepherds and specifically how they respond to God. We're going to look at what God does, but I want the real focus at the end to be look at how they respond to what God has done in this story. So if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 20. It'll be on the screen if you didn't bring a Bible, or there's a Bible in front of you. If you can read, and that's cool. You can do that. It goes like this. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary was treasuring all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Now these guys, these shepherds, right? They're just some guys doing their job, minding their own business, and then an angel shows up. I mean, just picture this scene as they're just out there doing their job. They're just working. It's night, minding their own business, and an angel shows up. How many of you would have loved to have been there for that? I mean, I would have loved to have been a shepherd right then and get this revelation, but I definitely would have loved to have seen it, even if I could do that. Shepherds during this time, if you remember, I talked about this last year, was that they were not very well liked. They were not people that were very highly thought of. And unlike the wise men from last week, they were not highly educated people. The wise men were. Shepherds were not highly educated or respected. And in fact, they were outcasts. They lived outside the city. They were dirty and different things that you read, different commentaries talk about. A lot of them were even potentially looked at as thieves. A lot of them were looked at as people that were not to be trusted, and they were not exactly welcome into town. It wasn't like, "Oh, great, shepherds are here," right? It was like, "Everybody watch your stuff. The shepherds are around," okay? They were not well-liked. And so you would think about these people and think, wouldn't these be about the last people that God would announce Jesus' birth to? I mean, these people that are the outcasts of the city that are looked down upon, yet God reveals it to them first. So we read through the story and we're like, it's not first in the story, so we don't always think that this is who we reveal it to first. But outside of Mary and Joseph, this is, as far as we know, the first people that God revealed the birth of Christ to. Corinthians 1:28, God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something. God is not like us, right? And he's not supposed to be. We're supposed to be like him, right? God's not supposed to be like us. We're supposed to be like him. And when I read through the scriptures, what I see over and over and over is I see God doing things that are unusual. I see God doing things that are unexpected. We talk about the upside down kingdom, right? Where the first are last and the last are first. And God does everything seems to be backwards as far as how we would do it, how man would do it. I see God using people for great things that other people would reject. Other people would disqualify and say, well, they're not good enough to do that. They're not worthy to do that. I see here in this story him showing himself to a group of people that the rest of the town didn't really want much to do with. And so as we look at this story and we think about this, think about who the shepherds are in your life. Not those who are leading you, but the shepherds, as in the shepherds in this story. Who are the people in your workplace? Who are the people in your school, in your community that God is wanting you to reach out to because they're unwanted by others, right? Because they're the ones that others look at and think, eh, they're a little bit shady. I don't know that they're really worthy of my time, and they're just going to, you know, take advantage of me. How many people in your life do we look at, and we look at just like everyone else does, as though they're not good enough? Because what I see here is God reached out to those people first. The very first people he told about Christ's birth are the people that were outcasts, that society didn't want anything to do with. God wants those people. Amen? I'll tell you that he wants them first. He wants them more than he wants the religious leaders and hypocrites. We see that all through the New Testament. God wants those people as much or more than he wants anyone else. And so take note here that these people, again, these shepherds were not looking for the Messiah. Now what we all want is we all want those people who are hungry for the Lord to be like, hey, will you teach me more? And you're like, well, yeah, of course I will. I would love to show you more. We're all looking for those people that, man, they're ready. But these guys, they were not looking. They were not looking. Again, unlike the wise men, they were not educated. They may not have even really known much about the coming Messiah and what to be looking for. They're just working. They're just minding their own business. They're just keeping to themselves. And then they have this heavenly experience. God sent someone, an angel in this case, their way to show them the light. Could God be sending you to someone who's an outcast, who right now is minding their own business, who's not searching for him, who has no desire, but he might be sending you to them to show them the light? It's questions we need to ask ourselves. These shepherds, again, they're working. It's nighttime. And, you know, I don't know what it was like here in this setting, but they're in these fields. And it says shepherds and fields, okay? So it wasn't just like a group of shepherds hanging out. It was like, I'm a shepherd in this field, and Donald's a shepherd in that field, and Dave's a shepherd in that field. They weren't together. They were separated. But they were in their own fields, and you think just a shepherd and his sheep, just in the field at night. It's probably quiet. You know, he's just the noise of the wildlife or whatever. It's probably pretty dark. Probably the only light they had was the moon and the stars. Think about how peaceful that setting was. You know, you ever go outside? I mean, when there's not a lot of traffic, I like to go outside here, but you can usually hear the interstate, and you can also hear Route 40. But if there's not a lot of traffic, I love to just, like, sometimes we're walking home from late night prayer or something, I like to just look at the stars and, like, man, it is really peaceful out here. It's just really nice. And I imagine that's kind of the setting that they had here. I don't know, man, maybe the shepherds are kind of laying on the ground with a sheep for a pillow or something, you know, getting comfortable. Maybe they're starting to doze off a little bit. Maybe they're talking to the sheep. I mean, think about it, a shepherd by himself probably talks to the sheep. Might be a little weird. He's an outcast, remember? Maybe they're just looking into the sky and they're just gazing and wondering about the stars and, you know, well, I don't remember seeing that one the other night. Whatever they're doing, it's probably peaceful and quiet. And then, bam, an angel appears. Like, isn't this like God to just interrupt, you know, what you have going on? And he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now imagine you're this person laying out there looking at the stars or talking to the sheep. Maybe you're trying to get some sleep. And an angel appears and says, do not be afraid. I mean, I would be thinking, what are you talking about? Don't be afraid. Are you kidding me? I'm scared to death. I wet myself. Now, you scared me. Why would you just show up like that? Like, couldn't you like give me some kind of inclination that you were coming? But this angel continues and he says, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Who is this message for? All the people. I'm going to reveal this to you, even though it's for all the people. The good news of Jesus is good news for all people. It doesn't mean that they receive it as good news. The truth is, it's good news for all people, no matter how low, no matter how high. The revelation of Jesus will bring great joy to a person's life when they get it. That's what he's saying here. I'm bringing this for all people, and it's going to bring great joy. And so this news the angel proclaims is good news. It's great joy for all people, and this includes these lowly shepherds. And so, you know, how many of you have gotten some kind of encouragement, but you believe that it's for somebody else? And then the longer you sit on it, the longer maybe you talk to somebody about it, you're like, you know what? Actually, I think maybe this is for me. I've done this before. I tell Christy all the time when I'm done writing sermons, I was like, I think that was just for me. But he told me to share it with everybody else. These guys, they get this message, and I imagine they're probably like, okay, the great news, great joy for all the people. Like, well, what are you telling us for? It doesn't really apply to us. Like, I'm just a lowly shepherd. I'm just out hanging out in the field by myself, minding my own business. Like, what are you telling me this message for? And then he makes it personal. The angel says, today, a Savior who is Messiah the Lord was born for you in the city of David. He says, this great news is for everyone, but I want to make sure that you understand that it's for you. Jesus was born today for you. See, this speaks of a relational God. Anyone who thinks that God is just a God who's just, he's separate and he's just kind of manipulating the world, but he doesn't want anything to do with us on a personal level, they don't understand the gospel. And we see right here, even in the revelation of Jesus' birth, we see that he's a relational God. He doesn't just say it's for all people. He then singles out those shepherds and says, this is for you. Take it personally. He's here for everyone, even you, no matter how you feel about yourself, no matter what your position is, no matter what your status is, Jesus came for you. And the church said, amen. Amen. Jesus came for you. It's not debatable. It is a fact that Jesus came for you. Luke 19:10 tells us, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. These shepherds probably don't think they're lost, right? They're like, I'm in my field. I know exactly where I'm at. I think you're lost because you're probably not supposed to be here talking to me, right? But they're lost. Who are the lost? The lost are people who walk in the darkness and do not have the light of Christ, right? John 12:46. I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. See, it's everyone who believes in Jesus does not remain in the darkness. People like to self-evaluate. They like to think about what they think their status is. They think their worth is. And that may be dependent on what people tell them or how people respond to them. But Jesus is the evaluator. He's the one that decides if we are worthy or not. And he said that we were when he hung on that cross. Jesus says, you're worth it. And Jesus says, he comes to bring good news and great joy for all the people. You just have to make the decision to follow him. See, we're always like, we get caught up in some of these theological debates like, well, do you choose God or does God choose you? Right? Wait a minute. So did I choose him or did he choose me? But I chose him because he chose me, and he chose me because I chose him. Who cares? He chose you because he came. Right? He did choose you. He chose you just like he chose these lowly shepherds when he says, the Messiah was born today for you. One angel comes, reveals the birth of the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord to the shepherds. These guys, again, working, minding their own business, keeping to themselves, not looking for an encounter. They were not looking in the stars, being like, man, I wish an angel would show up. It'd be cool if they were, you know, but they weren't. They were just doing their job. And this angel shows up, a carrier of God's word, and then we see throughout the rest of the story that they received the word that God sent through these angels. Luke chapter 2 verse 13 tells us, then suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. Now they receive this word from the Lord, from God through the angel. It says the Messiah was born and he was born for you. He's here for you. And when this multitude joins in, bursting out, singing, I cannot help but think of this verse. If you have Luke 15, 10, if you put that up there. I tell you in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. Now, I can't tell you with certainty that these shepherds repented at this point. I'm just telling you, when I read that, I thought of this scripture. And I can tell you that I see, following the announcement of the Savior to these men, I see a multitude of angels of heavenly hosts show up praising God, possibly thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands. When it talks about multitude, it just means a great number or all of them. Now, I don't know if they were all there, but that would have been a pretty impressive sight to see. But there was thousands upon thousands of angels here praising God. And what do they say? They say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. This does not mean glory to God in the highest way or the highest degree that we know how to do it. It means glory to God who is in the highest realm. He is in the heavens, the God above all things and all people and all creation. Glory to him. Okay, it's not like, well, the angels are here, so it's the highest, you know, praise that he can get. No, the highest praise that he can get is through his people, his image bearers. But it's glory to God who is seated in heaven for what is taking place on this earth right now, that a Savior is born. There's salvation on the way for the sinner, for the unwanted, for the unworthy. And he says, they say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This is not global peace like everything's going to be good now that the Savior's here. See, people mistake that with Christianity and peace, and they just think it means everybody's happy with one another and we're all going to get along now. That's not the kind of peace that he's talking about. Now, I believe that peace could be a result of an encounter with the Lord, but he's talking about this peace with God, with the Father, through the Son, who is the Prince of Peace, who by his death that was to come, we would be reconciled with the Father. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't come so that we would have just blanket peace on earth. He came so that we would have peace in him. Amen? See, these shepherds, they hear the word of the Lord through the angel. And then we see these angels rejoicing for the peace that comes through Jesus. And I believe that they also rejoiced at what the shepherds' reception of what God had done. As we continue on in this story, chapter 2 of Luke, verse 15 says, "When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" This is great stuff right here. We see the shepherds becoming sheep. I told you, when God shows up, things change. The shepherds, bam, instantly, they're becoming sheep. They're like, "Where do you want us to go?" We see they say, "We're going straight to Bethlehem." The truth is revealed to them. They have a heavenly encounter, and then they went straight to Mary Ann's or Joe's, right? And they just moved on with their day. They ignored or forgot everything that just happened. No, they acted on it. They're like, "Okay, God, now what can I do with this? How can I apply this encounter to my life? How can it change me?" They didn't delay. They didn't question. They didn't do what made sense. They went straight to Bethlehem. Remember, this is a town that they were not wanted in. Like, they didn't really want the shepherds coming into town, these dirty, stinky guys that they didn't really necessarily trust. And these men left their job for a point here, for a little season. They left their sheep in the fields. Listen, this was a 24/7 job, and I'm going to tell you that it was important that they were in the field with their sheep, or they wouldn't have been there. How many of you just go hang out at work when you're not supposed to be? Sometimes I do, but most people don't, okay? They were there because they were supposed to be there. And then God shows up, gives them a revelation of the Messiah, and they're like, "You know what? I'm out of here." It was important for them to be there, but an encounter from heaven will do that to a person, right? An encounter from heaven will make you be like, "You know what? I don't really care what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't care what man expects of me. I don't even care what I thought I should be doing. I want to serve the Lord. I want to chase after him, go after him." And so the revelation of God's truth will do this to a person. What makes sense to a man goes straight out the window along with his plans when an encounter with heaven happens, because it will change the way that a person thinks. Thank you, Jesus, right? That it changes the way a person thinks. They go straight to Bethlehem to see what happens, which the Lord has made known to us. Now, they had this encounter with thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. And they head to Bethlehem, and they don't even mention the angels. They don't give the angels any credit. These heathens, unredeemed people, have an encounter with angels, hear a word from the Lord. And then what do they say? They say, "We are going to go straight to Bethlehem, see what happened, which the Lord has made known to us." This is what made them go. It was a revelation from God. How many of us would be like, "I saw angels today"? I'm afraid I have my hand in the air. That might be what I would tell somebody first. Right? I might give God credit and be like, "God sent an angel," but I would include the angel. That's pretty impressive. It's pretty cool to be able to tell somebody. These guys, they got it that this was just a revelation straight from the Lord. The angels were just who they used. Right? They gave glory to God because they had a God revelation that drew them, and it's God himself, not angels, nor people or anything else, that is the source of genuine revelation. It's only God. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." This word here, the word for word, in the Greek is davar, which means speech, word, saying, utterance. And this certainly can include the Bible. Definitely does. But it includes any way in which God speaks to you. Revelation. Any way in which God gives you revelation of the truth, revelation of who he is, revelation of what he's doing, God reveals things to you. This is a lamp for your feet. This is a light for your path. And this is what the shepherds found on this night, right? God's revelation lit them up a path straight to Bethlehem. They're like, that's where we're going. We have revelation of the Messiah. We have revelation that he's here for us, and we're going to see him. And they took off. God called, and they went. And they went in a hurry. As a matter of fact, verse 16 tells us, they hurried off, and they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. So they received the revelation, and then they were called. See, God doesn't say, go straight to Bethlehem. He doesn't just voice that out, like orders them where to go. But because of the revelation, they felt a call. They felt a pulling. They felt a draw to Jesus. And so they went. They went immediately. They went where they were called. They shared the message about this encounter. They were not ashamed at what happened. They were not ashamed about who they were. They're like, you know what? God showed up. He's drawing us to him. We're going. We're not necessarily even wanted here. But when God truly gets a hold of a person, you don't care at all what other people think anymore. Amen? You don't care what other people think. You're like, I know what God thinks. And that's all that I need. You just respond to the call. So the question is, what revelation has God given you? What ways has God spoken to you? And in what ways is God calling you to him? Because you know what? Sometimes that puts us in a position where other people are like, you? Really? Like, you're going to do that? Like, no, God would be calling somebody holy like me, right? Or God would be calling somebody skilled like him, right? Or somebody nicer like her. That's what we hear sometimes. Where is God calling you? What is God calling you to do? Because it doesn't matter what other people think. When God gives a revelation and draws us to him, our job is just to respond and go. We don't care what people think. Where are you willing to go? And when you get there, are you willing to tell people about your encounter with God and what he has done? What he has done, because the shepherds did this. And in verse 20, we see the shepherds returned. This means they went back. Where'd they come from? Their fields. They go back. And it says they were glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. The shepherds' lives were changed on this day. They were changed by an encounter from heaven. The day that a Savior was born, the day that God spoke to them and told them about his son. Outcasts, called by God. How many of you can relate to that, fit in that box? An outcast called by God. The lowly lifted high by a heavenly encounter. Man, thank you, Jesus. The unimportant, the first to know about the birth of the King, of the Savior, and therefore, I believe, the first to respond to it. Man, God is calling you today. He has something for you. I don't know what that is. You know what it is. You know what God is calling you to, calling you toward. Maybe it's a change in life. Maybe it's stepping out of your comfort zone. Maybe it's doing something for somebody that you think, you know what, I'm not worthy of that. Surely God would send somebody else. Well, surely God would reveal his son to somebody other than these lowly shepherds, right? But he didn't. He didn't. And whatever he is revealing to you, whatever he's calling you to, he's calling you for a reason. He has great and mighty things for you today. Starting with the chance to know him, if you don't already, but if you do, man, he's got things for you. Jason, if you guys would come up. You know, when God shows up, things change. If you believe that today, if you believe that when God shows up, that things change, say, when God shows up, things change. Okay, things don't always work the same way. Things don't always look the same, but he is working. So the question today is, how is he working on you, and what needs to change? Where is he calling you to, and where do you need to go? If this was you, if you're like the lowly shepherd, who you think all I'm good for, all I'm called to do, is this little menial task of sitting in the field, looking in the sky. Nobody wants anything to do with me. I don't have anything of value to offer. Man, that's a lie from the devil. Because the Word of God tells us that he came for you. And he came for you so that you can be born again. And when you're born again, you're not the same. And so when you're not the same, you're not a nobody. You're not a loser. You're not less than others. You're not insignificant. But you're somebody. Somebody enough that Jesus came from heaven, born in a dirty old manger, and then hung on a rugged cross for you, so that you could be changed and transformed. And he was born, he was raised again on the third day, so that you can be raised to a place of significance, of good, right standing with the Father through him, so that you can be changed. If you would stand with me in this place, this morning what we're going to do is, I really, really feel that there's people that can relate with the shepherds, that can associate with the shepherds. And maybe you've even put on a good front and made it seem like you feel like you're worthy, but inside you're not. And inside it's what holds you back from doing what God has called you to do, because you think that you're not worthy. You think that you're not equipped. You think that you're not ready. That, well, if I just, God just needs a little more time to work in me. And what God is doing is he's saying, I've been calling you to go. I've been calling you to move. And I came for you. And I have great plans for you today. If that's you this morning, I want you to come to the front. If I could get every head in this place bowed, every eye closed. And I'm going to pray. And if that's you, I want you to not delay. Don't wait until the end, but begin to come to the front. And we're going to pray for you. But Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you today. And we love you, Lord. We say today, Jesus, that you are worthy of our honor, of our praise, of all that we are. Lord, we thank you that you came to this earth in a way that doesn't make sense to man. Lord, we thought, and they thought in that day, that a king, a great, powerful, mighty king, was going to come onto the scene and overthrow the government and just make everything the way that the people wanted. But Lord, you came in a way that made no sense to man, but it was the perfect way. You came, you lived a sinless life, you sacrificed yourself for us, and you were raised from the dead so that we could be raised to new life. And so we just pray this morning, each and every person in this place would receive what you have for them, that you have new life for them. Lord, that you have plans and purposes for them, that you are giving wisdom and revelation. You are calling people to follow you. And I pray that today that we would be emboldened with the ability, Lord, with the confidence to follow you wherever it is that you may be calling. Lord, maybe you're calling for a job change. Maybe you're calling for a relocation. Maybe you're calling for somebody to step out into serving in an area that they don't feel like they fit. Maybe you're calling them to step out and speak to somebody that maybe they don't feel like they have influence with, but God, that you are going to give it if they would step out in obedience, just as these shepherds stepped out of a place where it was comfortable and they stepped into a place where maybe the people did not want them. But you honored that and you used that and you moved in their hearts and in their lives to where they were rejoicing as they went back to their fields. Lord, we say that today we give it all to you. Each and every person in this place, Lord, we ask that you would have your way with us and wherever it is that you would call us to, Lord, that we would be faithful to follow. So we just ask right now as we lift up our voice to you, as we sing praises to you, Lord, God, that you would bring our hearts into alignment with yours. God, break our hearts for the things that break yours. Let us rejoice in the things that you find joy and fulfillment in. Lord, let us have a heart for your kingdom above our own. Let us have a heart for the people who do not know you, Lord, and the people who are hurting. Lord, give us a heart to bless, to pour out, Lord, as you poured out for us. And we say right now, Holy Spirit, have your way with our hearts. Shape us and mold us into the person that you have called us and created us to be. We thank you and praise you today in Jesus' name. Let's worship his name. If you want prayer, I ask you to come to the front.